Life is a puzzle. You've got busy schedules, relational struggles, and questions about God. Maybe more, you've got anxiety, despair, and depression. And as hard as you try to get better, nothing seems to work. Because what if your missing piece is that you're missing peace?
Amen. Amen. We're in a series on the peace of mind. Peace of mind. We've talked about a lot of things. Kids, you can go with Pastor Christine to Kids Church. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Thank you, kids. I appreciate it. Today is one of my favorite days. Not because I get time off, but because I actually hear a real preacher. She's the First Lady of Seymour Assembly of God, also known as my wife. And so y'all are in for a treat because you actually get to hear a good sermon today because it's my wife preaching, not me. So please welcome Pastor Aishi as she comes to preach.
Thank you. We are in a series about mental health. And you know, Pastor David, he spoke about anxiety and depression over the last few weeks. And today we're talking about one of the biggest mental health problems. It's so in our culture, and it's completely sometimes ignored and overlooked. It is worry. Worry. In our house, Pastor David and I have a rule. One of us can freak out or worry. We can't do it at the same time. We have to take turns. So he says that I need to give up my turn. He's been waiting way too long for his turn. But one of the things that does cause me some grief and stress and worry in my life are taxes. April 15th is coming, taxes. It does take effort gathering receipts, looking for the paperwork. And do I need to switch mics or am I? Okay, we'll just keep going. I'm on orange. How's that? Okay. Taxes causes me a lot of stress, a lot of grief. And I realized one of the things that I really worry about was that we will owe. Like, we're going to owe something, and then worse than that, we're going to get audited. So because of this worry, this task becomes this huge, like, project and gathering the receipts and getting paperwork in. And now we have to file for multiple states, you know, Illinois, Wisconsin. And so, yeah, my worry is legit, maybe not. But here's the kicker. Last spring, I told Pastor David to remind me, hey, tax prep, not a big deal. It's easy. It's not that complicated. So what did he do this January? Hey, Aishi, remember you wanted me to remind you? Tax prep, it's not a big deal. It's easy. It's not complicated. Yeah, I glared at him. He said I was going to strangle him, but I just glared. So, but he was right. We worked together. We got all this stuff, and it's all good. You know, my worry was for naught. We're all good, and this worry made this simple task, or maybe a little bit more complicated task, but it was a huge mountain instead of this task we needed to do. According to the World Health Organization, Americans have a bigger problem with this issue than any other country in the world. So the most affluent society is the most worry-filled society. Hey, we're the best at it. We win, yay! No, worry is poison to our peace. It's killing our joy and stunting our spiritual growth. According to Barner Research, about 60% of adults in the United States struggle with worry and stress daily. So about half of us are worried, and even maybe right now your mind is drifting. Maybe you're worried about a kid, or maybe you're a student and you have a test coming up, or you have a doctor's appointment coming. So why do we worry? It's because of our sinful nature. we default to fear and not faith. So when we're up at 2 a.m. in the morning, we're usually not trying to manage my peace and our joy. We're usually up worried about maybe our child. Maybe they have the wrong friends. Maybe there's health concerns we're worried about. Maybe there's job stress. Maybe we have aging parents. Or maybe we're worried about the big things, you know, terrorism, war, racism, division, the price of eggs. Yes, have you seen the price of eggs? The baking production in our home has gone down drastically. But what is the difference between anxiety and worry? I know Pastor David spoke on anxiety, and I just wanted to piggyback on that with worry. And they are related. They do overlap. And I'm not an expert, but here's a brief explanation. We tend to experience worry in our minds, and we generally experience anxiety in our bodies. So worry is often specific. Anxiety is generally broad. So I'm worried maybe I'm going to miss a flight or a connecting flight. But anxiety, I'm anxious about traveling. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us multiple times, do not worry. Do not worry. And today we're highlighting some verses in Matthew 6, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And as we read this in the middle of this powerful and practical teaching on worry, he actually covers 5 of the biggest topics we most worry about. I've been calling it the Fab 5, kind of in honor of March Madness, you know, Google it, you know, early 90s Michigan basketball. Fab 5, you know, finance. Jesus says, don't worry about finance, food, fitness, kind of our health, fashion, and future. Matthew 6:25, Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. And you've maybe heard Pastor David say that. Anytime you see a therefore in Scripture, you want to ask, what's it there for? And if you look in the verse before, in verse 24, Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money. So that's the answer to our therefore. We can't serve both. That's why we shouldn't worry. Don't worry about finances. You can't love both God and money. And we cannot be overly focused and obsessed about money. And we continue in this verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, food, or about your body, fitness, or what you will wear, fashion. So as we continue in this verse, Jesus says, don't worry about food. Now, Jesus was speaking probably about this worry to people about food, to people who were probably poor, so they really didn't have enough money or enough food. So that was their worry. And there are people in our country that is a legit worry. But a lot of us are worried about where we're going to eat after church. Which restaurant do you want to go to? Are we eating too much? Are we eating the wrong kinds of food? Or one stress and worry that I often face is the menu for the holiday gathering. Oh, don't worry about that. Who likes what? You know, do they have allergies? Don't worry about food. Also, don't worry about your body. Don't be obsessed about your health. Yes, absolutely take care of yourselves. We need to take care of ourselves. But our body is temporal, and our focus needs to be eternal. And don't worry about what you wear. Fashion. Don't worry about what people think of you. Here's the clincher. Our image. Don't worry about it. And I struggled with this a lot more when I was younger. Now I'm in a season, hey, are my clothes clean? Are they wrinkled? We're good. But we want to look nice. We want to look appropriate. And especially if you have a big event or maybe a job interview, you want to put some effort into that. But is our appearance our obsession? This past week, we had a snowstorm, and I wore my snow boots to walk to school. And then I changed into my gym shoes when we got there. And I looked down, and I'm like, oh, my. I'm really clashing. I didn't think this through. I should have brought my other shoes. And Marchese looks at me, and she goes, who cares? And I'm like, you're right, Marchese. Who cares? And I immediately thought of this verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? see how the flowers and the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. So don't obsess about what we wear, our image. And also don't worry about our future. Maybe some of you are worried about where to go to college. Maybe you're worried about, I want to have a job that I enjoy. Maybe there's a loved one who's sick. Maybe you're worried about the future of a relationship that's already strained. Or maybe, like Pastor David, he was worried about having hair in our wedding pictures, but he's all good now. He did. But don't worry about the future. If we have all that we need today, we are rich. We are in abundance. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We have all we need today, so let's not worry. And Jesus doesn't tell us not to worry. He's not like, hey, stop worrying. He also shows us how not to worry. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So this is how we're not to worry. Jesus shows us God loves you way more than the birds. So remember, God loves you more. He will take care of you. He will take care of your situation. He's got it. He loves you. And he loves you way more than the birds. And the birds don't worry. And to be clear, if a bird is hungry, a bird does something about it. I'm going to sidestep and show you what the difference between concern and worry is. Concern focuses on the challenges and moves you to action. So maybe your marriage is struggling and there's a concern. We go get counseling. Maybe we gain 10 pounds. Ooh, things aren't fitting real right. Or there's concern. I'm going to cut back on the sweets and the desserts. Maybe you're a student and you're not doing well in a subject. There's concern. So you move to action. You get a tutor. That's concern. Worry focuses on what's beyond our control and results in inaction. We become frozen. We become paralyzed. It's stewing without doing. And that's why Jesus asked this question in verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You worry, absolutely nothing gets better. But your mental health gets worse. The birds, they don't worry. Let's be like them. Now, I want to be like them and fly south for the winter, with that snowstorm coming. But the birds don't worry. They don't sit around and do nothing. Birds don't wait for God to drop food in their lap, even though they don't have laps. But they don't wait. They get up. They fly around. They find a worm. They eat. And then they get hungry again. Oh, I'm going to fly around. And then they eat. And then they go back to their nest and sleep. You don't hear them singing a bird song in the middle of the night. They're resting. They're at peace. They're asleep. You never see a bird pacing in their nest back and forth, rubbing their wings to their head, going, hey, where's my next worm coming from? Where am I going to find it? No, they don't worry. Verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. We have all that we need today. So let's not worry. So this Fab Five, these are general areas: finance, food, fitness, fashion, and future. They're big ones. But if we become preoccupied with those, we become enslaved. And then now they become our master. The grip becomes tighter and tighter. Why? Because these five things, that's where our security lies. They become our goal in life, our security, our identity, and then it becomes never good enough. And then we get anxious and worried. We worry and we become enslaved, and then there's no peace. Now, God doesn't ban us from making wise decisions in these five. We want to be wise in these, but many go way too far and become obsessed, and it rules them, and they have no peace. So the answer to that is to trust in our faithful God. Trust him. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So when we're worrying, hear me out, church. Let me not lose you. When we're worrying, we're basically saying, God, I don't trust you. God, I don't trust your plan. When we worry, we're saying, God, I don't even believe you're with me. I'm not even sure if you're really good. What we worry about the most reveals where we trust God the least. Let me repeat that. Don't miss this. What we worry about the most reveals where we trust God the least. So what do we worry about? What are we worrying? Is it a relationship? Is it a health concern? Is it a financial fear? Is it a personal insecurity? You won't measure up. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. And I'll be honest with you, one of the worries I struggle with is the well-being of my kids. I want them happy and healthy and good, and if anything is disrupting them, I'm a mess. And it reminds me when I was pregnant with Arthur. I was getting my 20-week ultrasound, and it was an exciting time. I even brought John and Marchese with me. They were going to see their new sibling on the screen. It was going to be, yay, fun. And the head technician pulled me aside after we were done, and she told me they found some irregular traits in the ultrasound. One of these traits was a thick neck, and this could mean that our child could be a special needs child. And with my older age, this could be a very valid possibility. And that was really hard to hear. I had so many questions. And then the technician went on to say, and you do have a choice not to continue with this pregnancy. I told her, that is not an option. I think I was more upset about that than the actual news of the ultrasound. And because of the rules and the laws, they had to tell me all the results and all the options. But this possibility, this it might happen, caused me so much worry. Later that day, my mother-in-law called me, and she prayed with me. And the one part of the prayer she said, I remember, she said something like this, may this child be a perfect addition to this family. And it took about a week or so before I had peace beyond I could even understand. Knowing, and I continued this pregnancy with such peace beyond I could even create the peace. And I knew that God was in control, and I knew that God was in it. And I knew that he would equip Pastor David and me to parent this child in whatever state our child would be in. Now, if you fast forward 20 weeks, we had a perfect, healthy baby boy, Arthur. And if you see Arthur running around on Sundays, you see he's a big boy, probably with a thick neck, you know. And he's a perfect addition to our family. Our family would not be complete without him. And I was given this possibility. This maybe it could happen. And I decided to cast my burden, to cast my care, my worry to God. And he gave me the peace beyond I could even create or understand. And I realized I can trust God with my children. He's got them. I had to remind myself that even this last week. God's got my children. I can trust him with them. So what are you not trusting God with? Maybe you're asking, what am I supposed to do? Just trust him? Just trust him with my future, my finances, my family? And how do I do that? How do I trust God? Jesus shows our part in verse 33. But seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek him first, pursue him, pray, press in, keep your eyes on him, and all these things will be given. Our job is to put God first, and we need to ask, is he really first? Is he really number one? Do we turn to him first in our day? Do we turn to him first in our finances? Do we turn to him first in our relationships? Is he the first place in our minds drift to when we start to worry about maybe health needs, our future situations that are happening even now? It's an opportunity to cast all of our cares and all of our burdens to him. And it's amazing how clear we can see, the clarity we get when we seek God first and we trust him. And he shrinks up that worry and peace rises up. Trust grows and we can think clearly and we can go through our day with focus and a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And we're able to ask, God, where are you working? Where are you moving? Instead of letting worry rule us. So if you're worried about something, it can go three ways. One, it may never happen. Researchers at Penn State asked people to document what they're worried about and how many times their fears happened in the next 30 days. 91% of their worries didn't come true. Less than 10% of what you worry will happen. But 91% of the time, probably won't happen. But your worry will rob you of your peace every time. Every time. It was. I'm reminded of when I was single and young and taking care of my car. I bought a new 2001 Chevy Cavalier. I got it new, and I was meticulous about the oil changes, about the tires being rotated. I even had a notebook and I logged mileage. Seriously, every time I filled up with gas, I notated it. Why? It wasn't because I was a proud owner. No, it was because I was worried. I was worried that I would break down and that I would get stranded. And not only that, but I would get stranded and then someone would rob me at gunpoint. I know. And I was pastoring in Chicago, so maybe my worry was legit, maybe. And when mechanics saw me, they saw dollar signs. They knew they could get me. You know, you need a new transponder. What? Okay, yeah, go ahead, go for it, install it. I found a mutual friend that could do repairs in his driveway, and his wife and him would just tease me constantly every time I would get an oil change. And even one time there was a light that came on my dashboard and nothing was wrong. And he's like, I should just put a piece of tape over it. And so, I can't because I'll get breakdown and then I'll get rock. No, I can't. And even when I moved and I helped started a church in rural Illinois, this rural area in Illinois, I would drive to our church office, which is an old farmhouse. And I still had that same worry. I'm going to get stranded. I'm going to get robbed at gunpoint in the middle of these cornfields by a farmer or something. Now, today, I look back. It was ridiculous. Did I ever get stranded? No. Did I ever get robbed? No. Now, the car did last us 20 years because we were so meticulous. But that worry never happened. So what you're worrying about today may never happen. And maybe, number two, it may happen, but it won't be as bad as you thought. You know, maybe you're thinking, yeah, I didn't do great on that presentation, but you know what? It didn't really matter. Maybe some of us can go back and remember, yeah, I went on that date. I was really nervous, but it didn't go so bad. Or, yeah, everyone laughed at me, but some like me even more because I can take a joke. A while back, I needed a job, so I started applying and sending out resumes, and I was really worried that my resume didn't match the criteria of what these places were looking for. And I went to some interviews, and I realized, whoa, it's not so bad, and I gained more experience with interviewing, and most jobs I didn't get, but, you know, there was one or two that I did get a second call, but, you know, it doesn't go as bad as you think. So sometimes you're worried it may not happen, or it may happen, it may not be as bad as you thought. Or number three, it may happen, and God will carry you through. It reminds me of our friends, Dave and Natalie White, and Pastor David has shared their story before here. We met Dave and Natalie at our church. We were on staff in Fargo, and we were in the same small group. And we were all newlyweds, and it was just a fun and great time of fellowship and studying God's word. And one spring, Dave was complaining about, you know, some stomach issues. And he would get it checked out, but there were really no real answers. And I even remember him saying at one point, kind of in good joking gesture, you know, I just need a good cleanse and then I'll be good. I'll be good. But shortly after that, he was diagnosed with colon cancer. The worst scenario did happen. Dave was in his early 30s, newlywed, and they had a Lydia, which was 6 months at the time. And there was months of treatment, and we would see his health improve and then decline, improve and decline. It was just a roller coaster. And even through those months, I remember Dave and Natalie's trust in God. It's so vivid and so clear to me. Their faith in God was unwavering. And it was the following spring, just a year later, Dave did pass away, leaving his wife, Natalie, and now their 18-month-old, Lydia. And in the weeks and months to come, I saw God's strength lift them. Their worst-case scenario did happen, but their faith in God was unwavering. They could have worried, but they chose to cast their cares to God. Maybe you are facing the greatest fear of your life. Maybe the worst case scenario did happen. But I want to encourage you, this is an opportunity to experience God's goodness, his presence, his provision, his peace in such a deeper way than you can ever imagine. And some of you have testimonies of it. And some of you are facing it right now. You're in the middle of the valley. But let me remind you that God is faithful. Let me repeat that again. God is faithful. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Our God is faithful. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. In a few moments, we're going to have a time of prayer. But let's do that this morning. Let's just go ahead and let me lead you in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have overcome the world. We thank you that we can trust in you. We thank you that we have peace beyond our understanding that can guard our hearts and our minds. We seek you, Lord. Open our hearts right now. Loosen our grips of control. Help us as we give our worries and our cares and our burdens to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We know God best when we need him the most. Let's seek him first. Let's see him meet our needs. And I'm going to invite you, if you want to trust God something in your life. Maybe you have a worry in your life that you just want to cast to God. Give it to God. I'm going to invite you just to lift your hands. If there's a worry, thank you. Thank you. In a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to pray. And maybe some of you have a bigger worry. Maybe you're asking, where do I stand with God? You know, God sent his son Jesus to pay the price of our debts. We don't have to worry about our debt, our sin anymore. We can be forgiven. All we have to do is to ask God, invite him in. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. Thank you. At this time, I'm going to invite the elders and the board to come, the prayer team. And we're going to just have a time of prayer. If you're sick in body or spirit, or if you want to have a chance to cast your worry to God, I'm going to invite you to come forward. So as the worship team leads us in a song, blessing the name of our God, I'm going to invite you to come forward and pray if you wish to do so.